Every week, we talk to dozens of SaaS founders and operators about the inner workings of growing a business, from the day-to-day minutiae, to inspiration, to the tough decisions, and the mistakes made along the way. You're listening to the SaaS Open Mic Podcast. My name is Olivia Jarvis. Head over to chartmogul.com for more content like this and easy access to your SaaS metrics in just a few clicks. That's chartmogul.com. My guest this week is Adam Crawshaw, the president and co-founder of Assembly, an e-commerce software platform providing solutions, community, and insights for millions of merchants globally. In our chat, Adam and I discuss the strategy behind building Assembly and creating a suite of tools for e-commerce brands. Additionally, we speak about the importance of data and how he thinks about net dollar retention rate as an indicator for growth. Prior to Assembly, Adam spent his career investing and advising across software, e-commerce, and media. He was an investor at Sequoia Heritage, an over $6 billion multifamily office representing current and former Sequoia partners and affiliated entrepreneurs. Prior to Sequoia, Adam was an investor at Wildcat Capital, an over $3 billion single-family office representing David Bonderman, co-founder of TPG Capital. Adam is a graduate from Indiana University Kelley School of Business. Here's my interview with Adam Crawshaw.
Good morning, Adam. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast. Let's start with who you are and where you are.
Totally. I am based in Los Angeles, and my name is Adam Crawshaw. I guess you can't see me waving my hand right now. I am president at Assembly, and Assembly is a software company for millions of e-commerce entrepreneurs that sell on Shopify, Amazon, and a lot of other e-commerce platforms.
Amazing. So you and I came in touch because we work with a couple of your businesses that kind of sit under Assembly. And we kind of got in touch on the notion of metrics and what really matters as you guys were starting to build out Assembly. So before we kind of get into that, can you give us some background as to how Assembly came to be and the businesses that kind of sit under the Assembly portfolio?
Yeah, totally. So Assembly started in 2019. And prior to starting Assembly, I had spent a bunch of time at various investment firms. So I was at a venture capital firm, Sequoia, that worked with hundreds of companies. Prior to that, I was at a private equity firm called Wildcat Capital, where we worked with hundreds of companies. So long story short, I spent a lot of my time in data. And I think a hobby of mine that I don't necessarily put on paper is Microsoft Excel. But as I've realized, Microsoft Excel only gets you so far before you need assistance on understanding exactly what's going on with businesses. Long way of saying, I was at an investment firm. I had teamed up with my co-founder, Sandeep Kela, and he was running a Shopify agency. And at that agency, he worked with a number of e-commerce customers. And that's where we saw the pain point that ultimately started Assembly. And the pain point was, for most e-commerce brands, these are incredibly small teams. These are less than 10 FTEs on your team that are managing your entire operations. And so you think about Shark Tank Entrepreneur, most people have this great idea, but they don't realize that there's hundreds of daily tasks that you need to manage across multiple channels that you're selling on. And because of that, they are leaning on software to run all these various components of their business. And that's exactly what Sandeep and I saw. And so what we're creating at Assembly is, in terms of analogies, in some ways we're creating a HubSpot for e-commerce entrepreneurs so that they can have everything they need to help them start their business, grow their business, and run their business effectively. Because today what's happening is you have these wonderful technologies and software solutions that people are leveraging on these platforms, and they're leveraging dozens of these. They're leveraging, 20, 30, 40. That's, that is not an outlier case. That's an average case for most merchants. And managing all their data and managing all these things is tough. And so what we aim to do at Assembly is simplify that by bringing it all into one place and helping everyone, whether it's somebody that's, one of our customers sells car seats that are designed as superheroes, or somebody else sells something else. But we help everybody. And, you know, through that, we have three brands. One brand is Helium 10, and Helium 10 helps you optimize your Amazon performance. We have a brand Refersion, which helps you with your influencer marketing. And we have a brand Ordermetrics, which helps you pull it all together. And collectively, what they do is they help you optimize your performance across channels, and they help you understand that performance, which are three to, it is a big component of what it takes to succeed on a lot of these platforms.
So as you guys were starting to kind of look at the market and determine what these e-commerce businesses kind of needed, obviously SaaS for e-com kind of makes a ton of sense. Helium 10 was your first business that you guys went after and purchased. Is that correct?
Correct. We acquired Helium 10 in 2019.
Okay. So as you're starting to kind of build out all of these tools within the portfolio, how are you guys deciding what you wanted to go after to kind of add into the Assembly pot and build out this suite of tools?
Yeah, it's a good question. We started where the GMV was happening. GMV, just for context, is consumer spend. And if you take a top-down view on things, you realize that Amazon represents a large portion of e-commerce sales, specifically in the United States, but also internationally. And that has led to a lot of merchants that sell on Amazon. There's 2.1 million active sellers on Amazon that need help. And so that's where we started. And one layer deeper, one of the best solutions in the market is Helium 10. And the reason they're one of the best solutions is because they offer all these amazing things in one suite. You have product research to help you find which products to add to your catalog. You have listing optimization to help you rank best organically. You have advertising optimization. You have this long list of things that help you on various components of your business. And people love it. You know, Tim Ferriss tweeted about Helium 10, I think, a week or two ago.
Well, congratulations.
He asked, he said, is anybody using Helium 10? And there was kind of this hold your breath moment of, you know, whatever people are going to say. This is a public NPS score for us.
Totally.
And it was really amazing to see. People had commented and liked, and you know, that's kind of what you look for, right? That's exactly what you're trying to build when you're building a company is people that are publicly talking about you in a positive way. Because I think that means you've done your job. And our job is to help these people on all these different parts of their business.
Which is so rewarding, right? It's I really find that too. I spend a lot of time kind of thumbing through Twitter and I get so much joy out of seeing people posting their chart mogul metrics or whatever it might be, because, you know, we know that we're helping them kind of start and complete some really great growth milestones.
Yeah. A great example of that is your last, I think the person right before me that did a podcast episode.
Yeah.
And he runs MicroAcquire, and I see on my thread every day, he posts some email that he got from somebody that shows how great of an experience they had. And that's, you know, if there's anything that you should publicize as a company, it's things like that, because it's actually real evidence that things are working.
Yeah, for sure. So there's the things that we take public and the things that we show to the world about how our company is doing. But then there's also the things that happen behind closed doors, right? So as you guys are growing Assembly and you're looking at these bootstrap businesses that perhaps you want to acquire and kind of build into this suite, obviously you're kind of starting to look at these businesses and look at their metrics. We're talking about Helium 10, Refersion, Ordermetrics, these companies that you ended up acquiring. Talk to me a little bit about the process of deciding how to bring these companies on board. Are there particular metrics that you looked at from an investment perspective to see if these were viable businesses? Walk me through that a little bit.
Yeah. So we have, you know, we have our own strategy, which is driving why we looked at these companies in the first place. You know, we started with Amazon. That is the core to what we do today. And then we bridge that out to expand into influencer marketing, which is a core component of traffic generation, and analytics, which is really critical as people scale. So there's a strategic reason for each of these companies. But as I think about the process of meeting these companies or any company that we've met with, it's a similar process. And, you know, the first part is building relationship. We've been building relationships for years in the ecosystem. But then you get to the business diligence component of things. And that's where you start to look into numbers and cohorts and all these terms that I'm guessing you know very well at ChartMogul.
Yeah.
And it's not, for anybody listening, business diligence isn't a gotcha exercise. It's a trying to better understand who your customer is so that we make sure that it aligns with who our customer is. Because if it turns out you've got a totally different customer than what we have, then I think we're doing ourselves both a service and making sure to get ahead of that. And so the core reason for data in the first place is just better understanding the customers, that you know how to better serve them, you know what they're using, you know who's vocal and who's not, and you know who you can grow with, which is an important part of from a business perspective, building enterprise value. And so we go through that traditional process of, you know, we'll build relationships for years without looking at any numbers. And I think that's important because I think that's what comes first. But then when you get to the numbers, there's a very standard set of things that you look for. And I have found that the faster that you can get to a normalized view of how you look at your business and how somebody else is looking at their business, and you can kind of stack those up in apples to apples way, that just makes things so much easier. And, you know, I was joking with you before this, but we've even recommended, if somebody hasn't plugged into ChartMogul at this point, you know, they should, because then, you know, we can look at it on a normalized basis. You know, it's a really great thing to have.
I always appreciate when people do that. And I said the same thing in my last podcast interview. There's so many marketers not on payroll in my life, like the amount of people that send companies to us. I'm so grateful for that. I want to get back to the point that you made around it's not a gotcha exercise looking at your metrics. I cannot tell you how often I have to kind of explain this to businesses that are either trying to be acquired, are trying to raise money. And there's a lot of positioning that feels like that needs to happen when looking at particular metrics. You know, oh, our churn rate is this because of that. Or, you know, COVID was really tough, so we saw a bunch of downturn or whatever it might be. And I think that there's a fear in kind of being able to build the story and being able to kind of get into the nitty gritty of what makes up a particular metric and how it relates back to your customers. Do you find that you have to do a lot of educating with these bootstrap businesses to kind of help them understand what the metrics are really saying or telling?
In some cases, you know, I think, you know, what's amazing about the ecosystem that we're in is there's a lot of bootstrapped entrepreneurs that are in it. And given just the sheer growth in e-commerce, people have built massive businesses that have a lot of data. And that's happened very quickly. That's happened in the span of 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so there's a component of education. And I think it's some of that education comes on educating what we look for or how we interpret things. But it depends on what it is. Like, I think most entrepreneurs are very familiar with ARR and MRR and what that is. That's a feeder system into cash flow, which runs their entire business. They're very accustomed to churn because they can see that kind of directly in their business as well, because it affects revenue. Things that they're less familiar with, and one that we spend a lot of time with, is things like net dollar retention and things like cohort segmentation. And it's almost like a level deeper into better understanding your best customers and who to grow with. It's actually a pretty fun exercise, because then if whether we end up acquiring a company or not, if you can go one level deeper than them and tell them who their most important customer is and also tell them ways that they can grow their business, then on the backside of that, you've actually built a pretty good relationship. And who knows, like 2 years later, that might actually lead to, you know, a transaction. And so I found that people generally know, like, the what is the best way to say this? they know kind of the high level stats they need to know that directly impact current cash flow, but things that impact long-term enterprise value sometimes need proper education and better understanding.
It's my favorite thing to do with customers is that kind of like get into the weeds, do the cohort segmentation and kind of build a little bit more to just saying, you know, our MRR is this. And last month it was that. And I've said this on a number of podcasts and people are probably getting tired of me saying that, but I really think that that education piece and kind of getting in there is really what's going to build a long lasting and a strong business. Let's talk a little bit about net retention rate or net dollar retention. You and I have chatted about it in the past in kind of side conversations. Why don't we start with kind of like an understanding of what the metric is and how you guys look at it and use it?
Yeah. So net dollar retention, just for definition purposes, is the dollar value that you're getting from a cohort. When I say cohort sounds very, very academic, but it's just if somebody joined in January, how much revenue are they giving you today versus what they gave you in January? And that equals a percentage. And there's a scaling level of percentages that are considered best in class in SaaS. And there's also a different segmentation depending on what industry you're in, on what's a custom.
Yeah.
But what we find, and this is a nuance, but enterprise versus SMB is very different. Like if you're an enterprise, you got to have like 100% net retention or something's going wrong. Mm-hmm. Whereas SMB, you find different scenarios. And those scenarios could mean a lot of different things. That could just mean pricing. That could mean packaging. That could mean product. It's almost like when you go to the doctor and you take your panel test and the results come back. You then start to dig in and try to better understand what's going on with the business. And net dollar retention is usually a pretty good signal that directs what's going on in the business beyond what you can see in the revenue growth rate.
Right, because it takes into account all of the movements to include expansion, contraction, churn rate, et cetera, right?
Correct.
Right. So in terms of how businesses can look at that, I feel like you probably have some opinions around how people can better their net retention rate. Would you share anything on that for those that are listening and thinking, oh my goodness, I've never really thought about how I could look at this cohort data and improve it? What would you share?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of vectors. There's, you know, if you go back to the definition, it's how do you get customers that joined before to pay you more later? And so there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can introduce new products. You know, in our business, we're providing software as people scale throughout their lifetime. And so we'll continue providing more products during that journey. The second vector is pricing. You know, if you look at a lot of SaaS models today, people will price based on usage. You know, value-based pricing or usage-based pricing, which is sometimes interchanged, has become a lot more custom, particularly in SMB SaaS. You know, if you look at best-in-class SMB SaaS companies publicly, a lot of them have some component of value-based pricing for this very reason. Is, you know, if somebody comes in today and they're paying you $19 and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing a lot more for them 2 years from now, that $19 might become $49. And if you get enough people paying that $49, then your net dollar retention actually looks really amazing. And it's representative of the business value that you're providing to that customer, which is significantly more. And so all of the initiatives that I'm talking about is just how do you provide more value to the customer and how does the value they're giving you align to that? And those are probably the two ways that I would consider, you know, implementing net dollar retention into your business.
I think it's a great point. I think that the original SaaS model, when I started in SaaS, you know, 6-7 years ago, I was working for a business that was selling on a seat-based model, right? So as time wore on, people were adding more seats and we were watching, you know, contract values go up, but that has shifted and the usage-based pricing model is becoming more apparent because it is allowing for a lot more account-based growth. We at ChartMogul changed our pricing a couple years ago to be based off of MRR. And we get this like natural uplift that happens with each of these businesses as they continue to scale and as we continue to service their, you know, mass amounts of data. And we've seen you know, mixed reviews on that decision. But ultimately, it came down to how are we continuing to grow our cohorts of individuals over the lifespan of their time with us. And again, yeah, it's kind of gotten mixed reviews. I think that it's a really strategic way to go. And it, I mean, it's done well for us at this point in time.
Totally.
Yeah. So what's next for you guys? How can you see this changing, or Assembly kind of continuing to change? COVID obviously did wonders, bizarrely, for the e-commerce space. A lot of people went towards e-commerce. What's next? What do you see in the next year for you guys?
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got a big vision, and, you know, similar to HubSpot, who, when they started, you know, started as kind of one product and then turned that into multiple products. And now they're a platform. We're doing the same exact thing. We started, tell the story, but our first business, Helium 10, actually started as a podcast, even before it was a software company.
Oh, wow.
So it was a podcast, just like we're on right now. And then that podcast built community. That community then turned into a software company. We've built that software company into a suite. And now our plan going forward is to build a platform. And by building a platform, what we do is we add more e-commerce platform coverage. We add more capabilities so that people throughout their e-commerce journey have the right solutions at the right time, at the right price. And we provide more visibility and insights into how we can help our merchants. And, you know, this is one level deeper, but actually speaks the same language as Chartmogul. But, you know, a lot of people today run their business with a lot of different data in a lot of different places, making a lot of different decisions based on revenue. And what we want to do going forward is give them more visibility into other things in one view so that they can make the best decisions, whether that's on Amazon or Shopify or any specific, you know, specific part of their business.
Very cool. Sounds like you're staying close to the customer and really kind of directing based off of what's happening, which is ultimately going to drive success. Where can people find you, Adam? Where can people follow along on your thoughts and things that you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, we're at withassembly.com, and each of our brands has their own website and following as well. We publicly announce every transaction that we make, and I think you'll be hearing more from us. You know, I think this is a massive industry, e-commerce, and software is going to become a bigger component of that over time. And we're going to be the leader in capturing that.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. I wish you guys all the best as you continue to grow. Thank you for continuing to send people to us as you start to kind of normalize metrics and get things going with some of these businesses that perhaps are going to be joining you guys.
Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this week's episode of the SaaS Open Mic Podcast, leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Again, head over to chartmogul.com to try Chartmogul today.